This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Yeah, this is El Capitan. We back. We're in the conversation. We're talking about Trump. We're talking about MLK. Tune in, y'all. Stay live.
For the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is In the Conversation. It's Damian Lemon on the mic, and as always, on my right hand side, I got
El Coronel, El Capitan, Vladimir Camaño.
Oh, shit. That's what it is. And on my left-hand side, I got...
You got the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad, in here.
What's cracking, man? How y'all doing, fellas?
Oh, man, everything cool.
Doing great.
Yeah?
Yeah, man.
Oh, man. Doing
great.
Fresh off of this MLK day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Dream.
Long weekend.
I forgot to post some MLK social media shit. I kind of... You know, you got to do your obligatory post.
But it kind of got... It was way too much, like... My whole timeline was King. Is there any new pictures
right.
that you could draw from?
Google Images is like, I ain't got nothing.
And quotes. Ain't no more quotes.
Nah.
You got to transcend it now and live the dream.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then add that to the mix because, I mean, the timeline is flooded.
Yeah. That's a good, hell yeah. You got to live your own dream.
You got to actually live it now.
Come on now. Stop documenting my dream. That was years ago.
I think this might be the last year, you just being able to post a picture.
I think people needed that dream, though. I think it's a gloomy time, especially for a lot of motherfuckers with doomsday approaching the inauguration of young Trump. So I think people they wanted that hope.
I guess because it was kind of everybody was real exuberant about this MLK day.
Yeah.
There was a lot of... I seen pictures that I hadn't seen. I, you know what I mean?
Oh, so you did see some
I did dudes. See a couple of them. Like, okay, that's new.
You okay.
know what I'm but, you know, I did see a lot of the, you know, same ones.
See?
But I saw a couple of new ones. But it was so many that I felt like, man, you know what? I'm going to sit this one out. I'm going to have to sit it out. You know what I'm saying?
You sat it out. You talking about picture-wise?
Picture-wise. At social media-wise, I had to sit it out. But, you know what I'm saying? At home, we was actually living King's dream.
Oh,
you know what
shit.
Saying? My daughter, you know, 8 years old, she wanted to have a sleepover.
Okay.
This weekend, the only available date was Sunday. We were going to do a Saturday, but then we came up with something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, they actually had the sleepover. So it was her friend from school, you know, little Caucasian girl that
Caucasian
she plays
girl.
With. You know what I mean? You know, I don't know the PC terminology
white.
These days.
White.
Caucasian?
Hey, whatever you want to go.
Hey, that's a white
Anglo-American?
There you go. White invite.
No, the white invite.
On MLK.
So she came over, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, they ate good, ate pizza and all that stuff. And then on MLK morning, my wife took them to see Hidden Figures.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? So it was an official.
Indoctrination,
live the dream, you know what I'm saying? Celebrate, hold hands and walk through this life together, hand in hand. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up. That's...
So it was cool, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know. It's always interesting when you have the white guest as kids, because you know
the
what I'm saying?
White, the white guest.
The white guest.
Guest.
No, as kids, you know what I'm saying? Because as kids, they not fully, you know what I'm saying? They not fully jaded yet. They
right.
not fully indoctrinated in racist America
they
yet.
They don't see so it like that.
It's all good. But right. then, you know, they come to your house and all they know is something new. It's something different.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And over the years of having, you know, sleepovers with the kids from the schools and, you know what I'm saying, of all different races,
mm-hmm.
You know, I learned pretty quick. You know, in the first couple of ones, you try to, you know, okay, you know, we got these people, kids over here. We don't want
right.
to go back telling them
no
bad news about the black folks. So, you know, you kind of, but then after a while, it's like, man, after about the second, third one
uh-huh.
of my oldest son, it right. was kind of like, man, they come in here, they going to get here.
There it is.
You know what I'm saying? So
stop hiding the shea butter.
Nah. Stop hiding the shea butter. We about to, you know what I mean? It's black all the way. So they come now. You know what I'm saying? my favorite part about the whole shit is when you had to give them the Black Daddy voice. You know what I'm saying? You know, they get a little off the chain jumping on your couch. You know what I'm saying? Then your kid be doing it with them knowing that shit ain't the way it go. And you had to hit them with the Black Daddy voice. Hey, we don't do that around here now.
Shut the whole shit down.
Then that shit be like, oh, shit. You got an official Black Daddy. I never heard that one.
You don't think the White Daddy voice is out there?
It is, but it's different than the Black Daddy
voice. What's the difference?
We're not gonna do that. Okay, we need to calm down now. Okay, let's tone it down a notch. We got to get a timeout here.
It's more treble.
It's more treble. Black Daddy go for bass. and you like to hit him with the, you like to hit him with the straight off the rip with the shock appeal.
Hey. Turn your shit to 10.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta hit him with a hey, some non-word words. You know what I'm saying?
Just to let that modulation thump.
Exactly. Let them feel you. Let them jump out their skin right quick. You know what I'm saying? Then you hit them with the, you know what I'm saying, the instructions. Command. That's not what we do here. You know what I'm saying?
Voice of God.
Well, you know, we ain't going to go that far, but the Black man voice.
What's the Latino daddy? What's that sound like? What's that Latino father voice?
It typically starts off with, like, and this happens in every family, but it starts off with a stare. And my dad was a stutterer. My dad got upset. He used to stutter.
That's the worst.
It was a couple seconds. It was a couple seconds of him kind of trying to get the word out, and that's how we knew that the daddy voice was coming out.
Because does he
hit you with that? Coño, you know that kind of thing.
That's just like a battle cry. Coño, get off my couch.
Coño,
that's hilarious.
Yeah,
a few beats of stuttering, a lot of blinking, trying to get the word out.
Does your father really only stutter when he's upset with y'all?
When he's upset, he stutters like a man. He can't help it. When his blood pressure goes up, he starts stuttering.
I think all parents got a little stutter, or at least, you know, a wrong name call. You know what I'm saying? They start calling out the wrong names.
My grandmother does that. My grandmother shuffled through all of the names. Donna Damon. Kevin,
you know what I'm talking about.
Exactly. You, come here. That's hilarious. Funny. Oh, shit.
So, yes.
Yeah, Damien, did you feel self-conscious about hosting a non-MLK content? You feel like people are going to call you out on it?
Nah, I didn't think they was going to Jennifer Holliday me. I ain't think it was going to get...
How y'all going to do Jennifer?
We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But, I didn't feel... You know what? I didn't feel no type of way. I felt more for me. I was like... Because certain days mean something, you know. Obviously, MLK Day means something for a real reason. Mm-hmm. And then right below that, you know, Biggie birthday is something cool. You know, it's just a good day for me social media-wise where I go into the archives, find a cool Google image photo that hasn't been seen. It's one of those.
Right.
And I, like, to your point, maybe I just didn't give that much of a fuck because I didn't really go and do a Google image search because every time I thought to do some shit, I seen yet another MLK post.
Right.
And then... My caption game, I don't really pay that much attention to my captions. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you're gonna honor someone like Dr. King, you can't just do no, you know what I'm saying? No, just King. You gotta come through and see what it means to you.
If you came up with the right picture, you can.
That year?
If you came up with a slick one nobody seen.
Niggas ain't never seen this one. That's your caption. You ain't seen this one. Martin ain't even seen
this one. With the big eye emojis. Mm-hmm.
Where you find that? Martin got the best cadence in the game, though, still. I think, bar none.
He does.
Nobody's cadence is fucking with Martin. Obama came close.
But it was still a watered down King cadence.
Obama's.
Obama took a little bit from King, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And added his little, you know, flair to it.
Pac took a little bit from King.
You don't really like the MLK rappers.
No, I don't like, that's a good point. I've said that Scarface got that.
The Martin Luther King flow.
The Martin Luther King flow. I don't like MLK. I don't like elongated rap.
With
Tupac. He's a hero. Like, it's too long. You could have put some raps in that little bit of time. I like a little bit of... I don't need a hit it, I don't need to bust the rhymes, but I need a little bit, like, cause it feels like you're making the font big on your paper. Yeah, you're trying to stretch it out.
It went all the way up.
Yeah, exactly.
Martin Luther King. That's the first time I ever heard that. You was the first person I ever heard coined that term, the Martin Luther King flow.
But he got that. Old Scarface.
Scarface definitely got a Martin
Luther
King.
Make you pay attention.
Flow. Definitely.
What you like you fuck with the Martin Luther King flow though.
before I knew it was the Martin Luther King flow, yes, I did fuck with Scarface and Pac. Yeah.
That's a spinoff of Daddy's voice.
Yo, T, oh. T.I. got a little Martin Luther King flow at times.
Yeah, very deliberate.
Why you use this voice to say that?
Because it's very deliberate. It is very deliberate.
Like, I use the T.I. voice.
T.I. go. No, because T.I. enunciate like a motherfucker.
You use the T.I. voice to describe T.I. rap. That's fucked.
Because this shit is deliberate. I don't think it's a T.I. voice. It's just the fact that it's, it's some syllables in that shit, you're going to know every syllable. But it's funny because then he could do that and then he could go to the just like straight country draw.
Right.
He could hit you with the ultimate enunciation, then hit you with the y'all. You know what I mean?
Yeah. T.I. had fluid. Range. He had fluid range. Got you know a fluid. What I'm saying? My best thing about T.I., my favorite thing I liked about T.I. was that he would always start off a record like with a lot of intensity. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you knew his presence was there when he when he cracked the mic. Like, his first four bars, you know what I'm saying? He gonna come right at you. You know what I'm saying? And I always liked that about him. Because he did it, he do it live. Like when you know what I'm saying? He performed on Yard Fest one time and he was still on his mixtapes. And you know, he ain't need no sound check. Somebody just threw him a mic and you know what I'm saying? It seemed like it was on beat. He caught that bitch in the beat drop and he was rapping. You know what I'm saying? Turning that bitch out just from the start. I like that. I like that in a rapper.
Yeah, it's urgency.
You know what I'm saying? I like that first bar, like, kick down the door ass shit.
Right. We don't have to take off. We right there. Right. It's immediate. It's good walk on the stage energy.
Yeah, good walk on the stage. I like that shit.
Motherfuckers, oh, shit, that's da-da-da. You don't want to walk on the stage with some shit that got to build.
Right.
You hit the middle of the stage, at the front of the stage, and it still ain't get to where it should be.
Yeah, only build you want is Cash Money taking over for the 99-2000. That's the only build you excited about.
Unless you got one of those verses where there is that little breakdown where the beat drop and it get quiet and it's even that moment in any because it's often in a guest vocal like it's also in like a featured guest set
like scenario bust around scenario
something like that the beat, even on. Like but even where it's like the beat drop for a second. And there's that point where the guy can go to the next song because we don't have the motherfucker, or we can let that beat drop. And everybody's like, oh, shit, it's motherfucker. And if you that motherfucker that could just walk out while the beat is still in and you get there, you don't even got to say shit. Crowd is going crazy already. And then you could even start off quiet on some ba-da-da-da. Niggas is like, oh, shit, no, niggas really here. Never mind. You see what I'm talking about, man.
Don't give up on it.
No, I ain't giving up. I ain't going to give up. You see what I'm talking about, though.
Or if it's that drop and then the dude is not there, but they still let it drop in the crowd rap.
Oh, well, that's a hell of a...
That's when you got it.
That's when you winning. That's when they low-key wanted whoever they sing it boarded you.
Exactly.
Like, shit, how come motherfucking such and such? Where Drake at?
Why he even let you on this song? And it's your song.
Ain't this a bitch? Vlad, what up, man?
I'm here, baby. I'm just, you know, I'm not that involved in the... I listen to hip-hop, but I'm not as nuanced as y'all two.
Nah, I know.
Where I could, you know, only gossip I got but is I heard Drake is dating J-Lo now.
Oh, that's it. That's in your alley, though. He stole one of your, you know what I'm saying, your brethren.
Brethren.
So, I've never been to a rap concert. I've walked by one in college, like the Roots were there.
You walked by one? Don't say you counting that. You can't.
I walked by a concert. The Roots were playing outside in my college. They were brought in for like spring, you know, spring fling, whatever it is.
That's a damn shame.
I walked right by that shit.
That's a damn shame. You from the Bronx. Hip hop came to your campus.
You know what I mean?
He said, oh, that's that hip hop shit.
No, that's that hip hop shit.
I'm cool.
Whatevs.
That's what I'm saying. Like the whole live thing and how they perform, like, I have no experience with that, man.
Have you ever seen anybody music-wise live? Going out intentionally to see somebody live. Have you ever seen...
No, I've never been... Okay. No, nah.
Never been to a concert?
Nah. I'm trying to think. I'm really trying to think hard about this. I've never been to a music concert, man. It's not my thing, you know?
You're not into music.
I'm into music, but it just feels like I'm being held captive, you know, for this entire time. And I don't like that feeling.
Really?
Like, I'm being, yeah, and then, like, you know, you got to deal with the let out and, you know, all that's uncomfortable.
You could leave before the let out.
Yeah, but they, you know, they play the greatest hits at the end. They play the real bangers upon right. closing. But I don't wanna...
All right, so at a comedy show, do you have to deal with that? If you went to a big
comedy
show.
Comedy shows typically, no, the you know, the venues are smaller. They're not as not
like a Louis C.K. Like or something. We went to Louis C.K. It was a hell of a let out.
It was gone.
Well, I haven't been to a comedy show. Like, the biggest one I've been to, I saw Brian Regan in Montreal. And I think that was about like a 2,000 seat theater.
Oh, yeah. That's a mid-range, mid-grade.
Mid-range, yeah. It wasn't that crazy. Mid-grade. So,
Shout out to Brian Regan, funny motherfucker.
Real, no, real funny.
I wasn't dissing him. I'm just talking about the venue.
But you think
Brian Regan's one of the best. One of the best to do it.
But you said you feel like you're held hostage because
yeah,
wait,
it's
just
feeling okay. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Explain it. Go ahead.
It's the same reason why I can't go to poetry slams. It's the same reason. Because at least. I don't know. It's just this feeling of captivity that I don't like. Like, I got to stay here now for the next hour and a half, 2 hours, and then he want to do extra songs.
But you don't feel that way at comedy shows. Is that because you're a comedian, or why do you think? Because it's similar experience, right?
It's a little different. I love comedy. I love the rhythm of it. I love the fact that it's like the setup and the punchline and maybe some crowd work. You know, yeah, I don't know, man.
You're into that.
So if when you're doing a show, do you take in consideration that people might feel held in captivity while they watching you?
And Damon, I think you could agree with this, man. I think every comic, mm-hmm. every comic, depending, you know, if you're not being taped, if it's not a taping, I think every comic has a sense, you know, because we're basically conductors, and we all have a sense of when that rhythm is starting to lull.
Right.
You could tell when that audience is not really, when the rapport is at a low.
You feel like you're wearing your welcome out.
You could tell. You could tell when that rapport is at a low. We all have different tricks to get that back. You know, we'll save a certain bit. You know, we'll do a little cry work in between.
Right. You got to lean in.
We could tell. You could tell when that crowd is like, meh.
That's when you got to lean in on. You gotta address it, or you gotta really turn it up and pull them in.
Yeah, it's like a date. You're like, you know what? Let's switch locations here.
Mm-hmm. All right, I see y'all wasn't really all the way into that.
So
yeah.
And I've heard that about dates. I've heard that it's good on a date to have different locations on a date. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So you feel like your dates be feeling held captive too, or do you
if
feel
it's going
held,
bad? Yeah, man.
If you feel, do if you feel held captive on a date?
If it's going bad, yeah.
I'm just saying in general, like you said, the general concept of a concert weirds you out because you feel like you're held captive. What about the idea of being on a date with somebody that you can't really escape from? A date on a cruise.
That's definitely being held captive.
A bad date on a cruise. That's fucked up. You are. Ooh.
I had a date on a cruise,
and it was a bad date.
It wasn't necessarily a bad date. It wasn't what I expected, because it wasn't supposed to be a date. It was supposed to be a hangout with a couple people I knew was taking me for my birthday on this cruise.
Right,
like a little in Miami, you got this cruise. They go to Bahamas right quick, and you go there. You
fuck around.
How long
does that take?
About a couple hours. You know, they fuck around on the water so you could, you know, play in the casino. Then you get off the boat, go to the club, and then come back, and then go back to Miami.
Like a booze cruise type of thing.
Yeah, something like that. So you go to Bahamas. So anyway, you know what I'm saying? There's a couple of people that, you know, I would hang out with, you know what I'm saying? There's one girl who used to braid my hair and, you know, her cousin.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? I wanted to holler at the cousin.
Old Mario ass. That's the show. I used to braid my hair. Go ahead, keep going.
So, you know what I'm saying? The last time she was braiding my hair, I'm like, yeah, it's my birthday next week. Oh, we're going to take you on this cruise. Uh-huh. I bet. So, we get to the cruise and shit, mm-hmm. and only one of them show up.
Right.
So, now I'm stuck on the cruise with the one that I, you know what I'm saying, that we weren't necessarily trying to holler at.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, now I realize it was a setup. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm stuck.
Wait, captive. So the hair braider was like, yo, I'm trying to go on a cruise. You was feeling the hair braider.
No, I was feeling her cousin.
So the hair braider was like, me and my cousin going on a cruise?
Me, the hair braider, her cousin, mm-hmm. and me were all in the same place talking about this cruise.
Right.
Hey, we should take you on this cruise. All right, bet. Because I'm looking at the cousin.
She leveraged the cousin.
She leveraged the cousin.
Hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? They said, you know what I'm saying, something happened with the car, whatever, right. Blah, whatever. So I'm on the cruise with this one. Now, and I'm captive. Then I'm
this is your braider, though.
This is my braider.
So you need this relationship to stay.
Definitely need this
stay
relationship.
Yeah, definitely this need braider. This relationship. You know, I don't know if you could just go from braider to braider. I think going from braider to braider is probably harder to go from barber to barber.
Nah. She was a top-notch braider, too. She was ranked. She was ranked in the city.
Okay, now, her braided chops aside, because obviously she got to be top of the tops. But now, compared to her cousin, what's the drop off?
Oh man, it was
significant.
It was kind of significant.
Let me ask you this real quick. We're gonna get on the boat still. But the braid situation. Uh-huh. Like this already, okay, the barber's one thing, but a braiding situation, I've never been, maybe when I was a kid, but I've never really had braids or no shit like that, right?
Right.
But I feel like a guy getting braids from shorty, it could kind of, unless I guess it's in a salon, it could kind of blur the line of.
It's a very intimate engagement.
It's intimate because it's very much either in her thighs or bosom.
They usually standing up.
They standing.
But it's a stand situation unless it's a situation.
Because it's a seat.
It's a sit down between the legs situation.
That means that's a. Okay.
That's a lot of warmth on your neck. I mean, it could be the standard.
That wasn't
what was happening here. Okay. It was a stand up situation.
Okay, professional.
But at the same time, it's still a hair wash and a, you know what I'm saying, and a scalp scratch and a, you know what I'm saying?
Intimate.
It's very intimate, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like a massage in that way.
Right.
And then, you know, and then a motherfucker spending time with you. It's a lot of time. It's more time than getting your hair cut, you know what I'm saying? So if you're just getting straight backs, you know what I'm saying? It might take you 40 minutes, 45 minutes or something. But then, you know, they got to wash it and comb it out and all. So it's, you know, you spending 2-3 hours.
Having a conversation.
Just conversations, you know what I'm saying? You know, somebody touching all in your head and, you know what I'm saying, pulling on your hair and shit.
You can't tune that. Is it bad form to just say, listen, Ma, just braid my hair. I'm about to doze off, put my headphones in.
That happens too, but you know what I'm saying? If they do shit to fuck with you too when that happens, if they don't want you to go to sleep. Like, you might be dozing off and shit, and they might pull your shit a little bit. And, you know,
stay with me now. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be braiding a cadaver.
Exactly. So, you know what I'm saying? This shit they do to keep your ass at attention.
Oh, heroin neck. So, go ahead. So, you on the boat.
So, no, I'm just saying it was a captive moment. I'm on this boat.
With the wrong woman.
With the braider. You know what I'm saying? Not to say the wrong woman, because neither one of them was anything at this point. You know what I'm saying? It was just, if it was going to be one, I had my eye on the other.
Uh-huh.
So, now I'm in this situation. You know what I'm saying? And now you got to make the most of it. You can't jump off the boat.
Right.
You can't go home. You can't be like, you know,
right.
Like you said, in the concert, you held captive.
Did she come? She came official? Like, she dressed up for that boat ride?
Oh, they dressed up. I mean, you know,
but
them,
it
you
wasn't
know,
them.
You know, a hairdresser.
They going to go hard.
Hairdressers, they work a lot. You know what I'm saying? I only know this from being in this culture with these people. They work a lot, but when they go, basically when they do have time on the Mondays, they take off, and the Sunday nights, they shop. Mm-hmm. They dress like a motherfucker.
Right.
So that's their fucking routine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We're going to do work all week, make all this money, and we're going to do a little shopping, and we're going to dress the fuck up.
Because they're in the beauty salon where they hear all the slander.
All the slander.
So you got to go hard.
And then this particular...
Recap Central.
This particular girl...
With the damn mess.
Her clientele was all of the big time, you know, all the big time dope girls, you know what I'm saying? Right. All the professional, like, high income people.
Right.
So she had a nice clientele, so she always dressed up and always was pretty much always overdressed for the occasion.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying? She was going to do the most.
Super hard.
Yeah, super hard every time. So, yeah, she came
with her
finest on, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, all right, I'm here.
Three hours.
I'm captive.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm getting me some drinks and we going to kick it and have a good time. It's my motherfucking birthday, man.
Yeah. Oh, it's the birthday.
It's my birthday. Shit. I mean,
and so it's just you and her.
Yep. So I just made the most of it, man.
So what's up?
You know what I'm saying? I'm even sulking and shit.
So what's up? What happened?
Shit, we ended up hooking up.
Oh, all right. Because we was talking about if it was a good date or a bad date. That's how we got into it.
We made it a good date. You know what I'm saying? We made a good situation too. One a good situation. Everybody heard the story about this particular person before. If you go back and listen to the Muhammad Holiday issue, Oh, is that the same Brady?
But this ain't the same event, though, is it?
No, it's not. This is the beginning of that situation.
Oh, damn.
So if you go to that episode, Muhammad Holiday, you'll hear how the situation ended. But this is how it began. So, hey, peace is my life.
There you go. How about that? Vlad. You ever been on a real bad date?
Real bad dates. No, I never been on a bad date. I've had dates where the chemistry wasn't, you know, like we weren't connecting. Mm-hmm. But the way I look at a date is the same way I look at bombing on stage.
Okay.
To me, it's exactly the same. You know, when you're bombing, and all you could do is let me get out of here gracefully. Hmm. You know, so I know the crowd ain't really messing with me. I'm not. I've already settled to the fact that I'm not going to kill tonight.
Right.
So it's like, let me have the best set that I can. And be a professional and get the job done.
So you don't go out in a blaze of glory. You don't say, you know what?
No, I'll be a gentleman. I'll be cordial, good conversations as best I can. Mm. I make sure the evening is fun, and then I, you know, just say peace out, have a good night. I'm not one of those dudes that I'll be like, you know, it's not really going good right now. Let's walk out.
Right.
So when I'm bombing, I know it.
Right.
I know when I'm bombing, and I just take that L. You know, I take that L. I rub it in my chest, and I go home and go, there's another show tomorrow.
Yeah. That's crazy.
You had a bad
date? Have you ever been on a bad date?
I've had bad dates. I can't think of anything off the top of the head, but I do know the moment where you just like, oh, this shit ain't going good. This is bullshit. Right. And then you just, it's kind of freeing. Right. And then sometimes a bad date turned into a good date because you just stopped giving a fuck.
Right.
And then
right.
Shit turned your way.
Turned the corner. You're
like,
right?
Oh, shit. Ambivalence is sexy.
It's some people that don't like the dating process part of it. They like, man, fuck this.
That shit like press.
You're just like, you know, shit. Why we out here doing all this? You know? Rather be chilling somewhere else.
Go get a movie.
You know what I mean? I don't know if I had a bad date before. I mean, cause with me, even if the shit ain't right, if the chemistry ain't right, you know what I'm saying? I'm social enough to kind of make the shit, you know what I'm saying, bearable for everybody.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And we get the fuck. We might not do it again.
Right.
But it ain't finna be no fucked up time where we sitting there staring at the ceiling, pouting and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I don't want that rep. People saying like it wasn't even a good time, you know?
I mean, I don't want to spend no bad time. That's all with me, shit. Yeah. Like, shit, you on my clock. I'm going to live how I live.
You know what I'm saying?
I like this.
You know what I mean?
I was on a date one time and this girl almost got arrested. Well, yeah. We taking a train and shit, and then I went through the turnstile. And Shorty went, she hopped the turnstile. Now, we adults. She hopped the turnstile.
And you ain't offer your
I didn't think
card.
I needed to offer the Metro. I could have, but I had a what you call it? I had unlimited. So it's 18 minutes.
Right.
I figured we both had our own joints. I guess she didn't. She hit a hop. It was a smooth ass hop. And we walked into the platform, and a cop just came out of nowhere. Excuse me, miss. And he pulled up on. I've never seen the cops really press a woman like that. Excuse me, miss. I saw what you did. Da 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 da. And then she kind of plaid off. You know, my bad. You know. And they let her go. But you couldn't even really play it off like you didn't mean to, because the hop was smooth. Like the hop was smooth.
Right.
It was very.
So how did the rest of the date go?
Rest of the date was fun. It was fun. I knew at that point.
She was a rider.
She was a
goddamn G.
She's a fucking, I'm out here with a delinquent. We're going to have a good fucking time. And it was good. It was fun. But
No doubt.
Ah,
what
shit.
Else good, man?
What's going on?
I love the fact that he said it was smooth.
I've been seeing people hop the train more recently, and I've seen a lot. I've seen
shit getting expensive.
I've seen some white folks hopping the train. I see the white guy, he had his book bag on. He hopped the train so cool. It threw me off because I've never seen, like, you know what I mean? I just never seen that shit before. I never seen a white person just hop the train.
Mm-hmm.
And, he did that shit like he hopped that shit every fucking day. He was cool. He had a long ass coat on, which is really hard to hop the turnstile with a long coat, but that motherfucker did it smooth.
You was at a what train station you was at?
I can't remember where the fuck I was.
A white train station?
it was right there. He conquered it if it wasn't. He was, you know what I mean?
They be posted up at my train station. They it's a fucking hot spot. Oh, it's like a sting operation where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? Every day.
Yeah. I've seen, it's a good sting operation at West 4th, but on the 8th Street side. Mm-hmm. I've seen plenty of people get bagged right there.
So, you know, some of them train stations, you know, it just be whatever.
Yeah.
But,
now, it was a diverse, now I know what it was. It was a diverse station.
Mm-hmm.
Every type of person. It wasn't super mainstream, but it wasn't, you couldn't say, okay, this is a black neighborhood or this is a white neighborhood. It was like everybody's there. The motherfucker did that shit so cool. I was a fan. I was like, oh shit! I wanted to hop on some peer pressure, some be cool shit. Damn, I'm fucking so I done swiped through like a clown.
Back in the day, it used to be, you know what I'm saying, some people that did it where, you know how the little turnstile come back a little, then it go, you know,
two at a time. Oh.
It go back a little bit,
right?
And then, you know,
and
what
they pull through
and pull through.
Right.
It was somebody. I seen somebody when I first got up here that was, you know, they pulled it back a little bit and then did it all in one step,
right,
to where when it pulled back, they just did a little leg motion, mm-hmm, and they was through
smooth with it.
It don't look like they hopped it. It just looked like
they had the combination.
Yeah, they had the combination.
I've seen
to the lot.
I seen that.
Some people perfect that shit, man.
And some people know how to bend the MetroCard to where that shit becomes unlimited.
Oh, wow.
There's a way that you bend that shit, some way that you could bend the thing to where when you swipe it, it always...
Hey, man.
You being for real?
Yeah, yeah.
That mother of invention, boy.
Yeah.
Because this shit be expensive, man.
Yo, where the fuck was I at? I was somewhere. Oh, I was on the phone with Vlad. I was talking to Vlad last week. You know what I'm saying? I was on the phone with him, and I was outside. I stepped into a hotel just because I think it was starting to rain, and I jumped in there, and I seen, like, I was at the little bench, and I guess some people that were staying there, they had left two MetroCards there, and I don't know why I picked the shits up. Them shits was fucking both weeklies, and
they
I was getting...
ain't need the shits no more.
Because they was leaving.
Yeah.
I was so excited. You would have thought that motherfucker was destitute, but it was still a come-up.
Couldn't even use two weeklies at one time.
Nah, I couldn't. I was just drunk with fucking possibility. But yeah,
You could have swiped your girl. She wouldn't have had a jump.
Right. Look at that. A little too late, though.
Too late, really.
Anyway,
late.
Man.
Yeah, man.
Wow, that was a hell of a conversation. Damn, you know what? I got hungry. Good thing I got some food on the way. Blue Apron.
Ah.
Yeah, I said, fuck it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it. They get, you know, they
modern.
Yeah, you know what? Try to see what's what. See what it is, man. I ordered it. We have our own promo code.
Do it.
But a little bit about Blue Apron.
What is Blue Apron?
Blue Apron
is... What is Blue Apron?
Well, that's a good question from both of you guys. I appreciate you guys asking me that question because I got some answers for you. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country.
Now, what does that mean?
That means that Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. That's what that means.
So what, they drop it off?
They drop it off at your crib. What happens is they hit you with a box of everything you could need to make that meal. Mm-hmm. Everything, down to the little sprigs of parsley.
Oh,
you know how you never had the sprigs? You're like, shit, I had little sprigs. Never got
to shake the parsley out.
Yeah,
it's dry.
It's kind of crazy.
Uh-huh.
I'm on the website right now. It's kind of crazy. I'm on the website right now.
Yeah.
They have menus every week.
Yes.
Like pork chops, chicken breasts, a steak dish. And they basically come with the ingredients for those specific dishes for that menu of the week.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Well,
if you don't, it's actually kind of cool if you got a little lady coming over, you're trying to cook for somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. There it is. You go.
You'll do that on
Don't even day. Tell her.
Don't even tell her. Oh, you're going with deception. I like it. Blue Apron endorses deception. Take credit for that.
Take credit for that food.
No, you don't have to eat pork. You could say when you do the Blue Apron thing, because let me be on full disclosure. I was given a Blue Apron trial to check out the thing. I got some Blue Apron coming on the 22nd. That's Sunday, so I'm excited about it. But I got to make my menu, and you could go on there. I told them I don't want any shellfish.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the shellfish, even though I could have fucked with
you
crab.
You're suicidal.
But I don't want no shrimp.
Yeah, okay.
So they didn't have that option.
That option. All right, right.
So I had to say no shellfish. So if you, no pork on your fork,
okay,
you could press the no pork on your fork.
Oh, they got a button for that.
It clearly says no pork on your fork.
Blue Apron.
Blue Apron, you know?
I mean, I'm with that shit because, you know, man, you know, I always be in a little hurry, you know, when it's, especially on a Tuesday, trying to get to the podcast, got the kids coming out of school, you know what I'm saying? You want to throw something together. And if it's already together, I just got to, you know, plop it in the, you know what I'm saying, preparation mode.
There it is.
Then, you know, that might be cool. I might have to try that out.
You know what? Matter of fact, check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/conversation. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/conversation. Blue Apron.
A better way to cook.
Oh, shit. Who's going to this inauguration?
I thought about it.
Not. You watching
Negative.
It?
Nope. Not at all. I mean, what for what, man? Shit.
It's going to be the last one. You better enjoy it.
You know?
Well, all right,
you
man.
Watching it, Chris?
Yeah, of course.
Let's see what the train wreck is. Who they got performing? Anybody signed on?
Why y'all driving three doors down? What's the name of that group?
Let me see how crazy it is.
Go ahead.
Let me see how crazy it is. They had, so you guys know the E Street band?
Right. They said no.
They said no. So they try to get an E Street cover band. They're called the B Street Band. And they even passed on it.
That's funny.
22 Savage might do it.
Hilarious. That's funny as shit.
They got the cover band thing though.
They Jennifer Holliday signed up for it right quick.
And then
until everybody dragged her.
Yeah.
She was like, I felt it though. She was like, man, nobody knew I was alive 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Now everybody got something to say.
Yeah,
like, she probably like, shit, I'm trying to eat out here. Nobody ain't trying to pay my mortgage around this motherfucker.
I seen her on her run. She's been doing, I seen a couple interviews where she's like, look, I just wanted to sing. I just wanted to share my voice with the world on the big stage, blah, blah, blah. I just wanted to be an artist.
Right.
And now, as ideal as that sounds, I guess in 2017, any association equals endorsement, it seems.
I guess.
Do you agree, or should an artist be able to just catch a check?
They could catch a check, man. It's up to the artist to give a fuck or not. You know what I mean? Yeah, people going to drag them. Steve Harvey ain't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Beyonce ain't give a fuck when they perform for the tyrant, leader, whoever the fuck. You know what I'm saying? People go do shit for people all the time. Erykah Badu took some money from somebody they said was like a, you know what I'm saying, tyrant over in Africa.
Right.
She like, that's my friend. Fuck y'all.
Right. Well, that's her friend.
But he a tyrant.
but at least there's a relationship. He ain't never been tyrannical to me. Is that what
exactly? Trump ain't never did shit to me.
Shit.
You know what I'm saying?
I thought for a second he might have had some shit on Jennifer Holliday. I feel like, I don't know, I'm not saying nothing suspect about Jennifer, but I feel like Trump and Jennifer Holliday both was cracking heavy in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So maybe they, you know, maybe he had to pull a favor. Maybe that was, you know, maybe they used to jump off. He was like, yo, Jennifer, you know, I love your voice.
Your voice.
You know, I love your voice.
Your voice.
I need you to
You know, I love your voice.
Blow one for me.
You want me to blow it, right?
Would you, if he approached you, was like, Ali, I want you to produce the Donald Trump inauguration. You got, here's the budget. This is double what you quoted us. We want you to take your creative, well, not creative freedom. We want you to be within the parameters of our tent poles and our mission statement, but we want Thorough NYC to be the exclusive producer of the Donald Trump inauguration 2017. Mr. Muhammad, do you accept?
Well, it's my patriotic duty to take this money from you, Mr. Trumps.
This motherfucker, hey, Muhammad?
These niggas don't know me. They can't drag me. I ain't even got Twitter no more.
Hilarious. You don't got Twitter no more?
Not when I take this job.
That's the first shit.
Let me deactivate all this shit. I never existed. These niggas don't know me.
Vladimir Camaño, famed comedian, TV star.
I know everybody like, this nigga's a coon.
Young man from the South Bronx, New York. We would love your comedic stylings. We just want you to do a quick 10 minutes right before the proceedings, right before Jeff Sessions. We want you to go on right before Jeff Sessions and before Trump. We need you to do 10 minutes. We'll give you double your quote, your highest quote. We'll double that. And the only thing, now you could do your material. You could be clean. You could be dirty. Vladimir Camaño, do you accept this inauguration gig?
Damn, unfortunately. I just looked at my calendar, man, and
we didn't quote the date, sir. What date do you?
I'm booked, man. I would love to do it, man, but I got this gig, and
would you really? You love to do it?
What your gig?
Yeah, the Donald Trump. No, you would love to do it.
I'd say no immediately, man.
Okay.
Why? Why would you say no?
I would say no because the risk outweighs the benefit of it. I mean, the only thing you're getting out of it is money. Right?
Exposure. You get exposure like a motherfucker, man. It's the biggest shit in the motherfucking world on that day.
It's the platinum part.
It's bigger than the Super Bowl right now.
You can always get money. You can always get money. Mm-hmm. But the risk of not doing well exceeds that. The risk of not doing well.
Oh, so you're thinking about bombing. You're not even thinking about the association. Okay.
I'm listing them out. You could buy them on that, right?
Go ahead.
You could
buy them anywhere.
You could buy them on that particularly because, you know, you could buy them, but then also the way people could interpret, because, you know, you're public face in that scenario.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And they'll make assumptions about where you align your political views just based on the fact that you're performing for Trump.
That's their assumption. Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but you can't control that. You voted for Hillary. That could affect your money moving forward, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you can't control anything outside of what you do.
But that's what I'm saying, the risk of that I think outweighs the benefit of doing the gig.
Now,
the only thing you're getting out of the gig is money.
Now you got to deal
with a public, you know, with a public
outcry.
Not do public outcry. Now you got to deal with the, what's the word for it? Now it's a public relations issue. After, like, you know, you look at the case of Steve Harvey, right? Steve Harvey met with Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was backlashing him, but we have no
that
idea.
That shit ain't finna do shit for that man. That man gonna be still hosting all this shit.
No, that's what I'm saying. But like Steve, like, we don't even know what happened, what the conversation was that they had.
He said what the conversation was.
They talk about the HUD homes. I mean, him and Ben Carson was teaming up to save the projects.
You know what I'm saying? But see, the thing about it is that once this motherfucker in office, there's plenty of motherfuckers going to have to go see him. Because he's going to be effectively the president of the United States.
Right.
There's going to be plenty of motherfuckers that's got to go see him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, unfortunately for the people in the public eye, you know what I'm saying, it means something different than motherfuckers who you don't never know when it did to me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, like me, Thorough TV ain't got to be coming out the elevator and do the press conference. They don't know me. You know what I'm saying?
It's going to be somebody there that heard that you was there with a camera.
And they're going to be like, I'm going to be out there passing out my business. I'm going to be passing out my business card. Hey, I know you need somebody. We're going to produce all this shit. But it don't mean the same thing for me as it means for somebody who got to be on the presentation with their face and their voice.
That's my point, because when you're documenting it, you're almost at the like a journalist, because you're just telling what's happening, you know. Right. In the case of Steve Harvey, people look at that and go, "Is he with Donald Trump? Is he aligned with him?" You know, and that was a unique situation because no one actually believes that Ben Carson is a legitimate candidate for urban development.
It don't matter if he's legit or not. If he is, he is. If that's his job.
But that's my point. That's my point to your point. Like, these are the questions that people come up with when you come out publicly like that.
I ain't going to ask Steve Harvey that shit. He like, man, I don't know. Shit, I'm a motherfucking comedian.
So this process is too riddled with, like, it's so muddy, man. Like, so I wouldn't take it just based on that. There's no clarity.
Right. It's no clarity for the public face. But at the same time, man, this motherfuckers come in his office and leave his office every 4 or 8 years, you know what I'm saying, that everybody got to fuck with for them 4 to 8 years, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's just a situation now where it's a circus show where, you know what I mean, it's so much put on. The whole meeting with him is a spectacle. You know what I'm saying? I don't never remember every meeting Obama have, it was a press conference, you know what I'm saying, where they take a picture at his house in front of the door. I met with such and such.
Nah, I was.
Was it?
Yeah, people who? Meeting with, I mean, I don't remember who, but I think meeting the president is always a big
no, before
thing.
He was the president, when he was...
No,
the,
even when you're president-elect, I feel like, I think that, one, we're in the midst of this, you know mm-hmm. what I mean, and we're in the midst of, we on this special, on this side, we I don't want to speak for people, but... I would risk saying that we not all here Trump supporters, right? So what I'm saying is, when you see people like, if you not fucking
ain't
with,
no risk.
Well, hold on.
Ain't no risk, by the way.
Well, let me. Okay, true. Well, okay, but what I'm saying is, when you not fucking with a president, or you see a president that's not legitimate, and there's people that you identify with or you feel like you support, and you see them standing next to it. It might get you a little bit more worked up than a president that you fucking with, and he taking pictures. I remember when Barack was, when after he won, everybody wanted to take a photo, because it was a moment where I felt like, shit, I think I'm going to get a photo with Barack. I mm-hmm. felt like Barack was going to take a photo with everybody black, because people was mm-hmm. excited. I can't remember who, but I feel like Janelle Monae might have been in that mix. Beyonce was early in that mix. Mm-hmm. I mean, she sang at the inauguration. You know, it's a bunch of people that were like, they was getting their Barack photo. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it was a moment. And I'm sure there might have been people, if you were somebody that was on the side of anti-Obama, you like, I can't believe that you're taking a picture with this president. I'm sure there was some detractors, you know. Mm-hmm. But on right currently... a lot of our peers and the people we fuck with, you know, or identify with politically, even though I know we got people that support Trump amongst us, you'll find out later on or whatever. But
you might not.
You might and you might not. But I wouldn't be, like, my thing is, I wouldn't be surprised if a motherfucker was like, yo, I'm be honest with you, fuck it, I voted for him. You know, I would be a little surprised based on who it is, but then... I meet so many different types of motherfuckers that after a while, at some point, this shit's going to overlap. This motherfucker ran the board. Right. You know what I mean? He got a bunch of votes. So somebody I've encountered has voted for Trump. I've looked down my Facebook timeline, and I might see people say, well, whatever. But I say all that to say, I think we're making it a bigger thing than it is.
Exactly.
I think we're making it a bigger thing than it is.
It's trumped up.
It's trumped up, you know? That's the thing. It's like, the narrative is, you better be angry. Oh, shit, look at fucking Kanye. This nigga, shit, he's standing. However, I will say this. Trump said some wild shit, you know? And if you of somebody of any of those offended or groups that he slandered, I could see you feeling.
All of us.
Yeah, I could see you feeling the fucking way. I don't think I would... take the money, just more so for the fact of, not even for the dragon, but just on my own, I don't respect it. I don't feel that this shit, I feel like John Lewis, I don't feel like this shit is legitimate. I feel like, honestly, this shit, it's screaming that it's been tampered with. Mm-hmm. This shit feels rigged like a motherfucker, and I don't think I want that energy around me. You know? It might be a mean check. I just don't want the energy don't feel pleasant to me. It don't feel like motherfuckers will even speak to me in the green room. You know what I mean? So I'm good. I'm not going to take the gig. But you know.
I take checks all motherfucking time where I know for a motherfucking fact if I ran into some of the motherfuckers who cut me the check from the company that cut me the check, that it might be a situation.
A situation like what?
That, you know what I'm saying? I'm not of, you know what I'm saying? I do a lot of high-end fashion shit, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of high-end fashion shit that, you know what I'm saying, I ain't going to walk into and they going to be like, hey, Mr. motherfucking Ali, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I take that motherfucking check right back to Best Eye.
But they ain't going to dish you. They ain't going to shit on
your
people.
I don't know what they might do, you know what I'm saying? I don't know who the fuck, you know what I'm saying, who own this shit or who run this shit, you know what I'm saying? French motherfucker who do this and, you know what I'm saying, Italian motherfucker who do that.
And it's a difference between somebody who might versus somebody who's done it.
But at the same time, I shot in Trump crib before I shot his wife.
But that was before he was saying all the wild shit.
But it's the same motherfucker.
Yeah, but it was also you, the context is, because if you were shooting tomorrow, it would be a little different.
Listen,
than when you shot
if,
before.
If a motherfucker, if it was the same situation, man, when I shot at Trump crib, I got a motherfucking address and a time.
Right.
And a motherfucking price.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, all right, bet. Be that 10 motherfucking 30.
Uh-huh.
boop, boop, arrive. I go in the elevator. I come up, open shit up. All right, see everybody setting shit up, clothes everywhere and shit.
Trump walk out.
No, Trump didn't walk out. I didn't know where the fuck I was at. I knew I was in Trump building. I didn't know where the fuck I was at. Mm-hmm. I'm chilling, waiting on motherfuckers to, you know, the whoever the subject is to come down and shit. I'm just chilling, you know, getting a little breakfast and shit on. And then I'm, you know, I'm shooting around, I'm looking around, and I started to see pictures and shit, and I see Trump on the picture. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I was like, hold up. And I started looking around more, and I see more pictures. I'm like, oh, shit, this Trump crib. And then when she came down, I realized that it was Trump's wife. Not that I knew what she looked like or nothing. I just hear people talking and shit. So, all right, we in Trump crib. We, you know what I'm saying? I'm shooting Trump wife. And if that shit happened tomorrow, and the motherfucker give me an address and a time, and I show up to that shit, and it's Trump crib, I'm going to shoot that shit.
Well, it's different, too. It's also blind.
I'm going to shoot that shit like it's a motherfucker.
So tomorrow, if you got an email that was like, yo, boom, 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 here's the time, this is the budget.
I'm going to shoot that shit. I'm going to shoot that shit. I'm going to tell y'all right now. I'm going to go shoot that shit. I'm going to go get that motherfucking money.
I hear that shit.
I'm going to leverage the fuck out that shit. And I'm going to go on back to my black ass house and do black ass shit.
How you going
to
leverage it?
I don't know. Whatever come out the shit, I'm a motherfucking work the shit. Like, because you when you in certain rooms, like, I don't know who the fuck I was around down in St. Bart's. You know what I'm saying? I'm on people boats and shit. I'm standing in a motherfucking house. I'm not sure what kind of politics this nigga got.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm there. I'm out there doing what the fuck I came to do.
But you know where Trump stands. Like, what Trump is
I
like.
I don't know where he's. I know what the fuck he say out of his mouth.
Part of his conversation is, I want to have a registry for all Muslims if they're trying to come into this country.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Now, you a Muslim.
And then I'm going to go shoot that shit. I'm going to go get the money. And then when it's time to march about that shit, I'm going to march about that shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to fight about that shit, all that shit. But I'm going to go get the check and come fucking home, man. You know what I'm saying? Shit, I got a little brother that's in the motherfucking Navy right now. He got to go fight for Trump. If you know what I'm saying? That's his patriotic motherfucking duty.
That's a duty, though.
I know. It's my duty to get this money. You know what I'm saying? It ain't my duty to support this motherfucker. I don't support what he's saying and none of that shit. But
it's a great question. Is it unethical to take a check from somebody even though you disagree with them? Ideologically, is that unethical, Damien? I think that's the kind of question.
Depends on your own personal
life. That ain't even no question because you do it all the time. And you know what I'm saying? You might not know it, but you do it all the motherfucking time.
But there's a difference between consciously and unconsciously doing something.
But it's the same shit.
I also think there's a difference between performing, like Damien Lemon on stage performing, as opposed to Ali, a photographer or whatever.
Exactly.
You know, it's a different thing. Because it's an interesting subject, regardless of whether you support that person.
Because if you're performing, you're leveraging your own personal brand.
Right.
Yeah, I dig it. I mean, you know.
Exactly. It's different between public and, you know what I'm saying, behind the scenes. Yeah. But I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go do a deal where it's going to sell out my people and shit. Nah, I ain't going to do that shit because me shooting some shit ain't going to make no difference. If you was at ABC and you worked on the press corps, you got to shoot this motherfucker every day.
Yeah.
You got to interview this motherfucker every day.
But that's ABC, and that's just his job.
This is my job.
But part of working for yourself is the ability to say no as far as clients go.
Right.
When you work for a company, you say no, they say, all right, we'll take it easy. It's understood that you don't make the decisions at this company.
I understand.
You just carry out the orders.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, but when you the head, part of being the head is where you could be like, you know what? I'm not fucking with that. Politically or otherwise.
And you're right. You do have that choice. But in the suppositions that we've laid out,
what was the suppositions we laid out?
Well, I shoot the inauguration, produce the inauguration. If motherfucker call me to shoot at Trump crib, you know what I'm saying, on some fashion shit, tomorrow, I'm going to shoot that shit, bro. I'm going to shoot it.
I can take it.
You know what I'm saying? That's what it's going to be.
Hey, there it is.
It's funny. You know, Damien and I had a conversation recently about that. It's like separating certain things, like this is just business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's hard sometimes, man. Those are hard decisions because sometimes I struggle with that too, man, especially with comedy because you're out in front. Some decisions are just like, yo, this is just business. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's sometimes the line is so blurred, but if you have a good sense of that, man, it's a wise way to navigate your career. But it's hard sometimes. It's difficult.
Yeah. And it's like I said, it's a lot different when it's you're a public face and you're a public brand. You know what I'm saying? And you're doing entertainment and everything is on you. You know what I'm saying? That's a total different scope of when I point some shit at somebody. Nobody don't know. A lot of shit I shoot, nobody know who shot that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So,
and the other thing too is, and I've learned this too, man. Like, I've learned this doing business now, is that you can also make demands. You know, I've learned that too. Like, you can say, hey, I'll do that, but you got to do this for me.
Yeah. No.
So, in other words,
you can't say, Trump can't be president. I'll do the inauguration.
Not that, but if Trump said to me, hey, Vlad, I want you to perform, I got to be like, well, hey, then you need, I would like for you to, you know, whatever my.
What would
my
your demand be? What would you tell Trump?
Before? That's what I'm saying.
What would it be?
I'd have to sit and think about it. Like, can you give us clarity on X, Y, Z, and what clarity. Do you, like, for example, like with the Affordable, like with the Affordable Care Act, right?
Clarity.
I'm paying you.
Get some shit together.
Clarity to rate.
But that's what I'm saying. People forget that we have terms too.
Right.
Like Trump has terms. Like, I want you to, we have terms too. Like, bet, I'll do the inauguration.
But I don't want to pay taxes for the next 10 years.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, I'm not gonna do it until you issue a statement on the Affordable Care Act. What is your replacement? You know what I mean?
He's gonna be like, all right, man,
next.
Take it easy.
But then you know what? But then I'm saying is, then he says no because he doesn't agree to that. He's like, I can't fuck with that, Vlad. I'm like, all right, cool, bye.
Right,
you know.
Yeah, man, I hear all that shit. You be a hero. That motherfucking Vlad Camayo leveraged 10 minutes of stand up. To America keeping their health insurance.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, hell,
man. Who's going to even know that?
I'm going to make sure, brother. I'm going to go on the podcast.
I'm going to make sure.
Be like, only reason I did the shit before I even start my set. I'm going to open up. Listen.
Absolutely.
Only reason I'm doing this shit is my man Trump told me it's free health care for all of y'all. So consider yourselves. You know, whatever the fuck.
Everybody feeling healthy tonight.
Exactly.
That's what Steve Harvey said. We gonna fix public housing.
Yeah, you know. Steve, did you see the video where he was saying that shit? You could tell it was just some shit to say. I don't give a fuck.
Steve leveraging his shit, man. He leveraged the shit with Obama. He leveraged the shit with Obama. He making sure he stays steady with you know what I'm saying, being able to have that direct line to the White House, which is a powerful motherfucking position no matter who the fuck sitting in the seat.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's good for Steve Harvey to be able to say, I could call a motherfucking president, have him on my show anytime.
Family Feud?
On his radio show.
Oh, okay.
Obama called in his radio show quite a few times.
Did he?
Yeah, I was like, goddamn.
Do we get Steve Harvey's show in New York?
Yes.
Is that BLS?
BLS. Oh, wow. BLS. I listen to it on the way, because, you know what I'm saying, you know, the Breakfast Club get a little risque for the children.
Right.
You know, I have an ongoing boycott of Hot 97 in the morning. Uh-oh. You know what I'm saying? I do not fuck with that show. You know what I'm saying? I ain't no need to speak on it. You know what I'm saying? But that's one of my celebrity beefs and shit that I don't fuck with. The Hot 97, you know what I'm saying, morning show. But I don't want to be no hater, because, you know what I'm saying, people say I be hating on the
Make
show.
Make the beef
no
list
hater.
For Ali. List
I ain't
the beef
no hater.
That is
I ain't no hater. I'm just transparent. Damien told me when he invited me to the show that the only way I could do it was if I was transparent.
Oh,
so I'm transparent with this shit.
Do you listen to Little 6 Minutes at 6 on Steve Harvey's show? My sister loves that.
What's
shit.
That?
I think either at the end or the beginning of his show.
I never catch the beginning.
Okay, it's mad.
Yeah, at 6. I ain't.
And it don't be on YouTube. You really got to be up, which is interesting. You got
to
be up
now,
for that shit.
I only catch it when we in the car driving the kids to school. Yeah. So that's, you know what I'm saying, after 7.
You think D.L. Hughley, I mean, he didn't go at Steve Harvey. He didn't say his name, but he spoke to it. I guess everybody playing what they could do. Do you feel a way about that?
It's about D.L. Hughley? No, I mean, I could.
Or T.I. going in on
Steve Harvey? I didn't see T.I.
I didn't watch it, but I see T.I. went in on Steve Harvey.
Everybody play they role and shit. Everybody take their, you know what I'm saying, their hits. D.L. Hughley, I did see what he said. You know what I'm saying? I agree with, you know what I'm saying, a lot of that shit, what he said. You know what I'm saying? But, you know. He just one man judging another man. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got their own little shit to do.
That's it. That's
you know
true.
What I'm saying?
But I think, you know, it's an interesting thing because, you know, Ray Lewis also went to meet with Trump. And the reality of the situation is that Trump is going to be president, right?
Trump meet with everybody, huh?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is the reality is that Trump is going to be president, right? So people got mad at Steve. But my thing is, like, is non-communication with Trump the best strategy for what we're trying to get to? You know what I'm saying? Like, if we all just boycott Trump, like, where is the movement? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't know how effective it is to just, you know, shit on Steve Harvey or shit on Ray Lewis when we don't even know what the nuances of the... I mean, the thing with Steve that I find interesting, I think this was a complaint of a lot of people, is that the Ben Carson pick in itself is inherently wrong, inherently complicated.
But that ain't Steve Harvey's fault.
Why is it complicated?
But I'm saying, no, but Steve was saying, like, I'm here to help out Ben Carson.
No, he said that they was going to have a... He met with Trump, and then they were setting up a call with him and Ben Carson to talk through the housing shit, right?
Because Ben is from Detroit, Steve's from Cleveland.
And Ben is going to be the head of the fucking housing authority. The HUD, so shit. You know what I'm saying?
The HHNIC.
Yeah, exactly. So,
right. So I think people were upset that Steve would even consider that. But then here's my question though, is that so we agree that Ben Carson is going to be the housing, right? As much as we all know, that's the worst pick you could have.
How you know? I'm not qualified to pick a fucking housing motherfucker.
I really don't even know the qualifications.
Who was it before?
I feel like if you grew up in the projects, that's a plus.
And motherfucker brain surgeon, he can figure it out.
Yeah,
the shit is always already working. It ain't like he finna come in and start some shit.
Slowest fucking brain surgeon ever. Though. This motherfucker talk like he done had his brain.
But you would assume that you would find someone who's been busting the ass for the people in that capacity, in those neighborhoods, who knows that world, who knows the specifics. You think they would vet somebody of that resume.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Nothing in Ben Carson's LinkedIn profile says I know how to deal with urban housing and development.
That's what it says, or is that? Oh, I thought
it's
he said
nothing. There's nothing. He knows how to operate a brain, but there's a dude out there who's been busting his ass for the past 30 years. I'm sure working on these issues.
Well, that, Ben probably gonna call him.
Vetted. Yeah, and they'll call him. They'll consult with him,
or he's gonna call Ben.
Exactly, Ben. But that motherfucker ain't busting his ass to help Trump get in the office. You know what I'm saying?
No, but
these
is
all
point.
Favors,
no.
man. You know what I'm saying? You know how the game
goes. No, but hold on. But this is my point. This is my point. We all disagree that Ben is not the best pick, right?
I don't disagree because I don't know.
I don't know either.
Let me just finish my point.
Go ahead.
Finish my point. My point is that pick is inherently problematic. We all agree with that.
That's what you're saying, and it's based on nothing.
Let's not play politically correct here. What I'm saying is this. No, because there's no way you can finish this conversation and say that Ben Carson is a great pick. There's just no way. There's no way around.
I wouldn't say he's a great or a bad pick. I don't know. Who would you have picked, Vlad? Who would you have picked?
Listen.
Who's on your list? I think it's a horrible pick. I'm gonna go right there.
Here's my point now.
Go ahead.
Do you get mad at Steve? Is it in our interest for Steve Harvey not to talk to this man?
I mean,
he should have talked to the man.
He could have had a conversation.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody's hitting on Steve, and I'm like, it's almost like we have to accept that this is a problem. Okay, Ben Carson is probably the worst pick. Is it not in our interest to say, you know what, fuck it, this is it, let's find a way to make this, you know, work? So, like, when people got mad at Steve, I was like, we don't know, like, it's already horrible what we have. At least let's try to figure out how to get this thing moving, you know what I'm saying?
I'm being honest with you, I don't even know who the last HUD person was. So, I don't know whether it was a good or bad pick.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist, dude. It's like
well, he's a brain scientist. He's a brain surgeon.
But that doesn't matter.
That's almost on par. That's like hiring
the head of comedy for Comedy Central, and you pick a dude who was doing a spoken word at the New Rican Poets Cafe.
The dude who's probably the head of comedy at Comedy Central probably ain't do none of that shit.
This is my thing. This is also the thing is politics ain't really all the way about merit. You know, that's the illusion that it's about merit, but it's really about connections and about favors. So obviously there was some type of conversation between Trump and Carson that was like, listen, give me this opportunity. I'll make sure that I could do this and I'll leverage that, blah, blah, blah. There is probably, I'm sure, as sure as you are that he's the worst guy, I'm sure there's a guy out there that's great at that job, better at that job than Ben Carson is. And maybe if that dude is smart, the first call he needs to do is call Ben Carson. The thing is, it's apparent either Trump don't know that guy or that woman or doesn't fuck with that person. However, that doesn't mean there's no opportunity.
Yeah, it don't matter because the dude who headed, you know what I'm saying, they gonna subcontract, do all the shit they gonna do anyway. Yeah. You just want somebody in your corner.
That's my man.
In all the spots. Now, with Steve,
You know what I'm saying? Steve is a he hide behind the fact that he's a comedian. But Steve Harvey is a powerful motherfucker. He talked to millions of people every day.
Right.
For four hours.
Right.
A fucking day every day. He talked to people more than most of these people y'all are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He talked to people more than Obama be talking to people. You know what I'm saying? Because he there every day with your ass when you're getting dressed, in the car, take your kids to school. You know what I'm saying? They there in your ear telling you what the fuck. So Steve Harvey was going to get one of them motherfucking calls. And he was going to take one of them meetings. And he should have took the meeting. You know what I'm saying? My thing with the whole meeting was that he came out trying to sell us on Trump. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he's a good guy.
See, don't do that.
You know, he's a good guy. You know what I'm saying? We don't need that, man. Do your meeting. Handle your business, but don't come out here trying to sell me on the fact.
You know, but that's part of the beating. Trump's like, listen, man, I need your help. I need you to go out there.
Y'all
got to
do that gradually.
That you fuck with me. Listen, I'm gonna give you this, but I need you to tell these people. That is expressly in the email and in the one sheet. I need you to tell your audience that to fuck with me.
That's fresh out of the Malcolm X speech. You
absolutely.
Know what I'm saying? The oppressors will call in. Negroes
yeah.
to come in and tell the people that they are good.
And you got to be, that's the thing. I'm not mad at you going to build your relationships, going to get your money and all of that shit. My thing, don't try to reconfigure what Trump is saying
right.
and turn it into something that
right.
that is actually in my best interest. If you look at it this way, don't insult my intelligence.
Don't do that now. You know, Steve,
get what you need to get.
You can save all that shit. That's where it becomes a problem.
I'd rather you just, like Kanye was like, listen, I just want a photo out. I wasn't even mad at Kanye. Said,
He didn't. He just said, right now, I just want to take this photo.
Right. Like, what I'm saying.
Hey, stop asking me questions. I just take your picture.
But that was his quote. That was his quote.
Right.
All this other shit, all this, I'm going to get on the phone with Ben and we're going to save the projects.
Yeah.
All that other shit.
He didn't even have to tell us what they met about.
Because you didn't even sound like you believe that shit.
Exactly. You talking like, some bullshit. You going to save the fucking hood.
Ben don't even know who Steve Harvey is. That's how connected Ben is to the projects. Anyway. what you y'all want to say anything else before we get the fuck out of here, or you got anything to say?
I mean, you just rapped the stuff.
I know Ben stopped listening. He was like, fuck this shit.
You just rapped it.
Anything? I mean, we've been talking for what we got. We want to talk about what you got. You got
we
anything?
Good, man.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Vlad, what's going on your side? You got anything?
Nah, I'm good, man. I'm good.
All right, well, shit. Let's
go. Good.
I think it's time to transform and roll out. Where you going to be at, Vlad?
I would be in New York City. I get in tomorrow. And,
shit.
I'm here for a couple nights doing a couple shows, seeing the family. So I'll be at the Stand NYC. I'll be at Dangerfields.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working, man. I'm here this weekend working on some material. Got some stuff cooking up, so I got to get ready.
There you go. Muhammad, where you going to be at?
Man, I'm in Brooklyn with the squad, you know what I'm saying, coming up with some new content and, working on building out these projects we already got. We'll be on the Instagram at Mr. Muhammad. We'll be on the Snap at Thorough TV. And, we'll be out here in the world, man. Holla at your boy.
Woo-hoo! All right, well, shit. This Saturday, I'm going to be at I think it's called Industry Distillery. It's out in Sunset Park, Brooklyn. I'm doing a show there on Saturday. 9 o'clock show come out. That should be fun. But shit. Until then, I'll be back here. Until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Jeez.
We out!
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production. Powered by digital media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out.